T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Base is still loaded. Here's the pitch. Another walk on 4 pitches. This has got to be one of the worst first innings the Pirates have had in a long time.
No argument here, Joe Block. First 7 A's hitters reached, and all 7 of them came around to score. They were down 7-0. Only 1 out was recorded. Rosney Contreras had his ERA go from high 4s to high 5s. He's now at 5.91, 60 games into the season. Mitch Keller got bombed by this team last night. They gave up 11 runs, 20 runs in 2 days to Oakland. How is that even possible? I thought it would take the A's an entire month to score that many runs. They had 4 home runs last night against the Pirates.
Would they have like 17 or 18 hits today? They came into the series, I just saw a stat, with something like 400 or so hits on the season. Pony, they had almost 10% of their hits on the season in this series. Most, one series.
Most hits they had in a game all year. Today, 17. Most runs, 11 last night against your 2 young gun pitchers, Mitch Keller and Contreras. I think that's cause for concern. I said panic button losses for the Pirates. Let's see if you agree. 412-928-9370. We got people fired up here at Mike's. Are you gonna? I hope the F-bombs that are emanating from all the fans here and the crowd here that's come in from the ballpark are not getting picked up on air, because there are some angry people in here, Chris. Except that couple over there that no doubt has to be related to A's players, because there's no other way that a middle-aged
that could be
A's
big Art Howe fans, holdover Art Howe fans.
And Maka's.
Yeah, Maka's minions.
What's that, Donnie?
Could be Mason Miller's family.
But he's out, right? He's
not. What if they just came down to the mics to rub it in everyone's faces?
True.
Wouldn't you just show up wearing Bethel Park gear?
They don't look like Bethel Park folk.
Or Waynesburg gear?
They don't look like they don't look like Bethel Parkians. As a man that's married to a Bethel
Park. Wait, so what's the general look of a Bethel Parkian?
Just their attire, just their style. They don't look like they're Bethel Park people, that's all.
I mean, the guy looks like he's wearing khaki shorts and a T-shirt and tennis shoes, and the woman looks like she's wearing a nice cardigan over a T-shirt.
They're not cargo shorts. Bethel Park is a big cargo short town.
Oh, it's a cargo shorts town.
Yes, it is.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's not a flat front shorts. It's not a chinos town.
I'm going to get inundated with family and friends of Amanda who are going to back me up on that.
Back you up. They're going to be coming out of the woodwork like you're pulling them out of those big cargo pockets.
The cargo short capital of Western PA is Bethel Park.
What's the jort capital of Western PA?
Baldwin.
Baldwin?
Yes.
So these are all just South Hills is a big fashion plate central here. Interesting.
Andy's on the fan. Hello, Andy.
Hello there. I want to say that after this series, I give up any possibilities of the playoffs. I think of the famous Jim Moore comment, playoffs? You're talking playoffs? We can't even win a game. And in 2 games against the Oakland A's, they lost. They can't beat them. Like Jim Moore said, playoffs?
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy.
Andy, that wasn't Andy's real voice. There's no way. That was a put-on.
John is next. Hello, John.
John?
Charlie's next. Hello, Charlie.
Hello there. Let's not talk about how bad the Pirates are without explaining why they're so bad. They don't score any runs. And the reason they're not scoring a lot of runs is a batting problem. You notice I didn't say it's a hitting problem. It's a batting problem. The sign on the scoreboard doesn't tell you who's at hit. It tells you who is at bat. And the purpose of batting is to avoid making an out. It's not to hit the ball as hard as you can, as far as you can with every swing, which is what they're doing. So all the opposing pitcher has to do is throw a little bit of late movement, and they're not going to get too far trying to hit the ball as hard as you can, as far as you can with every swing. And I say that they're doing that because...
What would your strategy be to fix their bat, their at-bats?
Well, don't try to hit the ball out of the ballpark in every pitch. That makes
They're trying to work a walk in every at-bat. Well, that was their calling card this series.
That's fine. They do work walks, but when they do swing, I see them falling themselves off their feet and falling down
Charlie,
when they swing.
I understand that they need to score more runs. They scored 7 in the last 2 games. That's not enough. They should score more against the worst team in baseball.
No,
thanks
not.
For the call. I know it's not, but
sure,
of much graver concern, thank you, Charlie, of much graver concern is that your two young aces, one who has pitched like an ace this year and the other who is supposed to be ace-like material, gave up 7 runs in how many innings of work total?
What would it have been? 6 flat, because Keller went 5 2/3 and Contreras went 1/3.
There you go. And what's up with those guys? Keller, at least this year, has shown you for 2 months that he can be the best pitcher in the league, but...
We're working on 3 straight starts where he's been anything but.
I mean,
and I think he won, both of them? Because they scored a lot of runs in both of them.
I mean, Zangrilli has been one of these guys that has hinted at innings, too many pitches. You know, he's throwing harder than ever before. You know, we see these guys like Jacob DeGrom who blow their arms out. I mean, these are the types of thoughts that are going through my head when I see someone make such a drastic night and day change in such a short period of time where he looks like Mitch Keller of May of last year right now. And Contreras, really, outside of a couple starts, has been bad the entire year, Chris.
Even more good news for you. Quinn Priester stinks right now in AAA. Not very good. So help isn't really on the way either. They got to ride with these guys and figure it out.
See, I would think after today they would be tempted to move Contreras to the bullpen and bring Priester up and just say,
screw it.
But that's not the
their MO.
That's not good process.
Yeah, it's just you know what it is? Panicky.
Well, because that's not rewarding a guy for doing his job.
It's punishing one guy and then saying, hey, you haven't done well, but you can't be any worse right now.
412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on the Pirates losing a series to the freaking A's. Here is Nate next. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be quick. First thing, I've lived all over the country, and I lived in Bethel Park for a very long time, and they have the most diverse ass-backwards sense of fashion of anywhere I've ever seen anywhere. So I just wanted to put that out there for Bethel Park. But as far as the Pirates are concerned, I can see the panic button, but it's at arm's length, and it's going to stay there for the rest of the season for one reason, because of my expectations going into the season, okay? This is an exciting team to watch, all right? But to copy Juju's quote about the Browns, the Pirates is the Pirates, all right? I mean, we have an awesome awesome April. All this hype gets kicked up, and I'm like, wait, just wait. And that happened in May. Then we sweep the Cardinals, and people are like, oh, we swept a division opponent that has basically owned us for the last 15 years.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to blow through Oakland, might take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and then we're in good position to go into Chicago and Milwaukee. My response was the same. Wait. Just wait. This last I checked, we were talking about the Pirates. I mean, unless I'm missing something. So that's really what
they
wanted to say.
But Mitch Keller was Pirate stink proof going back to the midpoint of last year. You know, he's not someone that, when of all the conversations we've had about temper expectations or calm down, I haven't heard a lot of people say pump the brakes on Keller.
Once every 5 days in May, he was the only reason you had hope.
I think even the most cynical Pirates fans were like, hey, this guy's the real deal. They got a gem in this dude.
I mean, I've advocated for an extension, and I still would. I'm still not fully scared off by it, but he's looked worse than pedestrian his last 3 starts.
I mean, did you watching the game last night? McHenry in between innings basically was making it sound like his mechanics are awful.
Yeah, he
like
was
he's
saying,
completely lost.
Yeah,
his,
he lost his release point. He was flying open too early. They kept saying that.
I mean, there was like fear pitcher porn. There is what it felt like watching those breakdowns in between innings with McHenry. Like he sounded like a guy that was hitting his own version of the panic button with Keller.
I mean, I heard it even from Greg Brown either yesterday or even two nights ago when they barely scraped out a win. Just the tone of the broadcast was like, not all is right with this team. There are actual problems here that aren't necessary. I don't know about you. You might not have detected the same thing, but when I feel like Brownie is very confident in a team, it comes through in the broadcast. He did not sound that way.
You're allowed bad games and you're allowed bad series, but I think there's a more macro question about their young starting pitchers now that needs to get sorted out. Is Keller healthy?
Does he need to skip a start? Is Contreras going to be good at any point? Is Contreras going to put together the very live arm and turn that into just very good pitching? Would you skip one start for Keller suddenly?
They got the extra off day tomorrow, so I'd pitch him again.
After that, though, if it's another bad game, wouldn't you have to consider it?
Yeah.
You'd have to.
I would.
If you really think it's health or fatigue related, because what's the first thing we know about with pitchers when they get tired late in games? The fatigue can take control of their mechanics, and you start getting sloppy.
And I would say with Contreras, you really have no other choice but to pitch him and see if he can get out of it.
Yeah, you sent him to the bullpen once, and then when you had an injury for a guy that is going to end his that ended his season, and you know, and you shouldn't have ever brought him back the way you did so quickly the first time. The horse is out of the barn here. Cat's out of the bag. You might as well try to work through it with him. The funny thing is, they still have to try to make all of these personnel moves against the backdrop of whether they believe it or not, they're still in a division race for the time being.
Yep. Here's Ed on the fan. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hi, Ed.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, this is Saltine Warrior. The only thing good about today is my daughter was late for the game. By the time she got there, it was 7-0. I just hung out at the best bar in Pittsburgh.
Wow. Thank you, Ed.
Did he call himself the Saltine Warrior? Did I hear that correctly?
What was the guy's name? What was the Ultimate Warrior's original name? Didn't he have some... By the way, Iron Sheik, RIP.
Yeah, now the pieces of crap that have been monetizing his Twitter feed and posing as him but writing it themselves hopefully stop making money off of it. But yes, the Iron Sheik is one of the all-time great heels in wrestling history. A complete character. He'd put you in that camel clutch and that was it, baby. Did he call himself the Ultimate Warrior or the Saltine Warrior?
I heard Saltine.
So did I. Was the Ultimate Warrior's original name? Wasn't it the Texas Tornado?
No, he had something else.
That was Kerry Von Erich.
It was the Dingo Warrior.
Thank you. That was the
Dingo
name.
Warrior.
Isn't there some saltine challenge where...
You can't eat like eight of them in a minute without water. Because it'll dry your mouth out too much. I've tried to do it. It's weird because you get like through three of them. You're like, this is easy. And then five, six, seven, and eight, it becomes a real slog.
The other one I tried when I was younger was 2 gallons of milk in an hour.
Oh, I thought it was only a gallon in an hour.
Pretty sure it's two. We tried two. Didn't get very far.
I think the whole challenge is you can physically consume that much, but almost like as a reflex, your body will vomit it back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Horrendous series loss for the Pirates. We're right next door at Mike's, and this place is buzzing in large part because people need catharsis. They need to have a few pops before they go home. to think about what they just watched next door. The Pirates fell behind 7-0 in the first inning. It was reminiscent of the Steelers-Browns wild card game. You get your first beer, you sit down, you take a leak, and it's 28-0. You don't know what hit you. And the Steelers tried to make that a competitive game, but ultimately fell short. And that's exactly what happened here.
Pirates had their chances. They put a lot of runners on base via the walk and could not come through with the big hit. If it wasn't for Rodolfo Castro, the game would have ended up being a lot more lopsided than it was. But, man, it just sucked. Contreras has been – I thought Contreras very early in the season was showing signs that he was going to start turning a corner, and it's been mostly just downhill and bad from there.
What's the Steelers equivalent in the last 20 years in the Mike Tomlin era, let's say? This would be like a Tomlin loss,
like the,
losing
this,
2 out of 3 to Oakland.
I can't say the 45-42 Jags loss because that Jags team smoked them in the regular season. Like everyone took them lightly again, and it was an embarrassment.
How about Mike Glennon's Bucks?
I think losing to Terrell Pryor and the Raiders. Terrell Pryor goes on the play fake on play one of the game, and poor Ryan Clark is still sprinting up to the line to deliver the hit. And
Lamar
Woodley
didn't set the edge on that play.
That wasn't even the X-ray machine game either. That's a completely different horrible loss.
Yeah.
I would say that one, though. That one's probably my all-timer. Oh, no, I got a Steelers one, not from the Tomlin era, but
it's
I got the expansion. The Texans game. The Texans game is still the funniest and best one, and we can laugh about it now because it was so many years ago, but I've never seen that before. I don't think I'll ever see that again.
Aditi, you covered a lot of Steelers games here in Pittsburgh. What do you think was their most embarrassing loss under Tom when at least one you were at?
The two that you just mentioned, the Texans and the Terrell Pryor Raiders, both precede me. So,
okay.
I don't know. It just felt like for a while, every year the Steelers were good for one head-scratching, mind-numbing, you got to be kidding me loss. I don't know that I felt that same way the last couple of years, though. You know what I'm talking about? Like, every year, you knew that they were going to lose to, like, the two-win Raiders. They were going to go on the road and lay an egg somewhere, or be flat against the three-win Baltimore team and Ryan Mallett. Like, you just knew there was always going to be one game like that. I don't think that that's happened the last couple of years, though, has it?
I thought that maybe the chances of that happening, Aditi, lessened in people's mind because it was always connected to them being clearly better. Like, they would have Ben Roethlisberger, and so they would, you know, there would be this letdown capacity.
Right. You're right. Because in some ways, the Steelers have, I mean, it's not like Mike Tomlin would ever say this because the standard is the standard, but in some ways, the Steelers have overachieved a little bit the last few years. If you think of the outside national perspective, I mean, I saw your buddy Florio, last week, pointing to an article that said that the Patriots and Steelers have the longest streak of not finishing in last place in their division, and both teams could do it this year. And even, like, reading that headline, I was like, the Steelers aren't finishing in last. Not that I can tell you who is, but it's just, like, sort of impossible to believe.
I would submit that last year getting beat at home by the Jets, knowing what we now know about Zach Wilson, is an awful loss. The guy gets benched in his third year as a starting quarterback after being the number two pick in the draft. They've already given up on the guy.
Yeah.
The MILF Hunter. I think that's a bad one, Chris. And he's catching a touchdown pass and doing the gritty on you in the end zone? Come on!
Yeah,
that's a bad beat.
That probably does qualify, and that one's... You know what, though, Aditi, even as Pony says that, I'm going to say something here rhetorically that confuses him because he might agree with it. You can almost give him a pass because Pickett's coming in at halftime in his first ever NFL game, and he gives you kind of the best and worst of a rookie doing that. He gives you a shot in the arm with a couple rushing touchdowns, but then he throws a couple
picks.
But
that's back on Tomlin because they had all that time to get ready for that game, and he still started Trubisky over Pickett. Instead of just giving Kenny all that time to get ready for the game and start.
I guess I'm saying overall that isn't like a shocking loss to me because of all the myriad factors involved. Like,
Aditi,
it's not
was
the
Kenny's
same
birthday.
As going to Baltimore. It's not the same as going to Baltimore, playing for a playoff berth, facing a, whatever it was, 3 or 4 win. I think it was a 3-win Baltimore team. And Ryan Mallett, not even Joe Flacco, and laying an egg.
Yeah.
But that
was brutal. I was at that game.
Yeah, in terms of, like, remembering games that I was at, that one was awful.
Aditi, I want to ask you about Pickett in a second.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead, yeah.
It was his birthday yesterday. Did you get him anything?
I messaged him. Does that count?
What did he say? Like, did he say thanks?
Wishes house? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, because he has tremendous manners, so he did, yes.
Now, did he actually say thank you, or did he do the thing that people do now where they send you, like, a heart?
He, like, reacted to the text?
Yeah. I hate that.
I'm going to use the Mike Tomlin line here. I'm not comfortable sharing every detail of every private conversation, because that was not a conversation for public consumption to be shared on the air. But let's just say this. Kenny Pickett has wonderful class, wonderful manners, and just everything the city of Pittsburgh should want in its starting quarterback.
Well, Aditi, when I congratulated him on being picked by the Steelers, he ghosted my text. He never responded to it. I identified myself and everything, and I've never received a response.
Maybe that's more of a statement on you than him.
Maybe. It definitely is.
Yeah, but then he was very nice to you when he saw you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I love how you think that we make the same impression. Is that what you're trying to say, that you and I make the exact same impression on people?
No, I think I make a much worse impression on people. No, I think I make a terrible one.
I mean,
Mika Fitzpatrick talked today for the first time and said the defense is ahead of where it was at this time last year. Here's a question for you. Outside of Minka, Watt, and Hayward, give me the most important player on that defense in 2023.
Patrick.
Oh, maybe we lost her.
No. I was Patrick Peterson. About it. And I'll tell you why. Because we're banking on him to teach those two young rookies and accelerate their development. We need that. The Steelers need that back end. The Steelers need that secondary beyond just Minka to really be locked down. They need those corners to step up and not play like rookies. And it's too much to say, okay, it's Joey Porter Jr. You know, that's too much. But part of the narrative right now, the story, what we're hearing from the players themselves and from Peterson, is that he is personally taking the onus of bringing them along and, like I said, accelerating their development. So let's see how that goes.
How much of a swing player do you think Ogunjobi will be for them, as far as if he's healthy and the best version of himself versus if he struggles and the risk they took signing him doesn't pay off because he's banged up this year? How impactful
Huge. I've been talking about this for, what, like 3 years when we were talking about Tyson Alualu and the difference that he makes in the run defense and why you need that big body in the middle up there like that. And so that you can't, everything, this is, we've been talking about this with everything in terms of building from the line of scrimmage out. Obviously, the Steelers paid him in a way to expect a huge impact. This is a guy that has had a huge impact in this division. And can I also add, did you guys talk about it when he bought his parents a house? Did you see that video?
No, why? Did this just happen after this contract? I might have missed that.
Yes.
Bought him a new house?
Okay, you need to look that up. Everybody listening, go look up. Larry Ogunjobi bought his parents a house, and I think that there's video of it on his Instagram account, and it's awesome. It's amazing. It's incredible. I don't care how many times they see something like that. It makes me tear up.
Aditi, I don't have a good segue from that, but I'll tell you what will make fans tear up in other cities. No, I mean, this is the best I've got it, because I was going to go to something completely different and non-Steelers related, or at least I hope non-Steelers related. How bad do you think it might get with the NFL this year with players getting in trouble for betting on games? Like, this just seems like a problem that's only at its outset here, at least from my vantage point, and it's only going to get worse.
You know what? And it is really interesting to know what the education is. Like, what are the, and I'll tell you this, I mean, I've had conversations with multiple players offhandedly about money that they made betting. And I've never asked, you know, like, what are you betting on, or really, or, I mean, I don't even want to go there. I mean, I remember having this conversation 2 years ago at the Super Bowl in L.A., where somebody was telling me that he had gone on Rodeo Drive and spent a good amount of money and was like, well, it was found money because it was, I shouldn't even say this. I shouldn't say this because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I do think that the education piece needs to be picked up because teams will start being responsible too. When you look at the Lions and how many players got in trouble, and that's kind of what the question is now, right? Like, are the players properly yep. being informed what they can and cannot do?
All right, Aditi, we're at a very loud Mike's Beer Bar, so we're going to let you run. Thank you so much for coming on with us again today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. All access with Aditi.
This is the loudest it's ever been in here, I think.
No, it's not. I still think the backyard brawl pregame was just decibel levels turned up where I felt like I was right next to a speaker at a concert.
You know what it is? I don't think we had guests coming on the phone on that show. I think we were just talking to each other, so it was easier to hear. But, I mean, we have our volume all cranked up here to the max, and it still is just bleeding through. By the way, Yankees canceled their game tonight, man. Air quality. New York Liberty canceled their game. I guess smoke came inside the Barclays Center.
How?
There are open doors. I don't know. Ventilation shaft, exhaust. I don't know. But teams canceling games across New York City right now.
So I'm guessing it's not just the way it looks. It must
bad air
legitimately
quality. They're saying, yeah, well,
to which to breathe it in or have difficulty finding the air.
Yeah, and I saw, like, I think Alan Saunders said this, and he's not wrong, but it's just like one of those things you probably don't say. He said if air quality was the only thing, you know, is canceling baseball games, the Pirates wouldn't have had a team until 1987, given how bad it was in Pittsburgh for decades in the efforts at, you know, that were gone through to clean it up.
Where do we rank as an air quality city now?
Bad. Still Allegheny bad? County is still one of the worst in the United States. It routinely is second worst to, like, L.A. County.
Damn.
Yeah, the old steel mill
but
stuff
really
dies hard.
I feel like I just, like, drive, like, I see the city from afar and it's just all smogged out.
I think the thing is you got to go to a place like Denver to see what it's like in a good air quality place.
Never been.
Or, like, you go to rural Montana, like a city like Billings or wherever, or Missoula.
Billings.
You know, you've got your Missoula.
You
want
to get that good air. Make sure you get out there to Missoula.
Well, I'm serious.
Get to Bozeman. And
I'm serious. It's different out there,
hang out with
man.
The Dutton family.
Yeah.
I'll show you a good time.
Exactly.
I don't even know if you guys could hear that.
Nope, I heard like a microphone being hit.
Sponsors, Pony?
Yes, we have one today. The debrief is brought to you by the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. It's always a good time to review your auto and home insurance with Buell. And the Buell is behind the Donnie Football debrief.
The debrief, June 7, 2023. This is a biggie, a big one. We have the announcement of nationally televised preseason games. Obviously, the Hall of Fame game. That'll be Thursday, August 3rd. That's the Browns and the Jets in Canton. NBC game, 8 o'clock. Week 2 of the preseason, they're giving us just one. Ravens and Commanders, Monday, August 21st. Monday Night Football.
The Battle of I-95.
ESPN.
Ugh.
Week 3 of the preseason. We got 3 games to finish out that final week of the preseason. Thursday Night Football, Colts and Eagles. They're putting that on Prime Video. A little test run for Thursday Night Football this year. Friday, August 25th, Lions and Panthers. That's a CBS game. Sunday, August 27th, Texans and Saints. A Fox game, a Sunday night Fox game. Any of those games tickle your fancy?
The Ravens game, just because aren't they still working on an unbeaten streak and that's
yeah,
several preseasons
that's right.
long?
Yep.
I want to see if the Ravens can just continue to be the all-time preseason football dynasty. That's what matters to me, Donnie.
I'll tell you what I matter, or what matters to me. Is Mike Tomlin going to get his head out of his ass and not put guys like T.J. Watt and Najee Harris into the third preseason game when one guy is less than 100% and the other guy proved the year before that he needed no preseason prep whatsoever to win the Defensive Player of the Year award? Of all the mistakes Tomlin made last year, I think that's second. I think number one is the way he handled his quarterbacks in training camp, in the preseason, and then early last season. Kenny has talked on and on and on and on about how his first few starts he thinks he struggled because he had no work with those first team guys at all in training camp. They put all their eggs in the Mitch Trubisky basket. And then the other, I think, is what Tomlin did with Najee and Watt. Najee didn't look healthy until the second half of the season. And on top of Watt's pec injury, he had that knee injury from the Lions game that required surgery in the middle of last season.
The Najee and Watt thing bothers me more than the quarterback situation does, because I'm not entirely sure that Pickett coming in with more reps would have made a huge difference in what happened early on. There just was no reason whatsoever for the Najee and the Watt stuff, the T.J. Watt stuff especially, but there really was no reason for Najee to be out there grinding out preseason reps. That's where I just think, like, the football guy, the lifer mentality, the very old school mentality that Tomlin has always kept despite being one of the youngest coaches in the league for much of his tenure, I think that's where that hurts him and hurts other coaches who feel that way. Like, even in Watt's case, even if it's, you know, remember he got clipped a little bit on the one play?
Yep.
Like, even if you can't draw a direct line and say, oh, that's absolutely the reason he had to get surgery or whatever, you can draw close enough.
No, it was.
No, I know it was in that particular case. Even with Najee, did one specific play aggravate it? Maybe not, but it didn't make anything better. What's the need? Like, what do you – I guess I want to know, because if you're a coach, you should have an explanation for every decision, should you not? There's no thing too small to be micromanaged. What would you say is his explanation for putting either guy out there? I would say there is no satisfactory one. Harris knows what his job is and how he's supposed to do it. T.J. Watt damn sure knows what his job is and how he's supposed to do it.
How much would you play Pickett in the preseason this year?
I think Kenny Pickett actually has to get, like, a reasonable amount of reps. Mainly because the player himself said those are important to him. You have to be willing to take that risk. You better have him under strict orders that ball's getting thrown away if the pressure gets close. But I don't think he's accomplished enough where you can just trot him out there week one with, like, very, you know what I mean, with very little work.
Well, I'll go back to what you said before. If Pickett suffered an injury in the preseason and it caused 2023 to be a lost year for him, I don't think you'd be able to justify that.
Do you think he's good enough that you can throw him out there with either – how much would you play him? Very little, basically?
I'd play him, I think, maybe two series in the first game just so that helps him adjust to the pace of week one a little easier. But that's it.
Wouldn't you just do it in the last game then?
No, there's only three now. So no, I said the third game.
I thought you said the first game.
No, the third one.
Okay, third one makes more sense. I'd give him a quarter. But that's splitting hairs here. I'd give him at least a quarter in that game. I might give him a series or two before that, but I base that mainly on he wasn't good enough last year for me to say that it's just rubber stamped, he'll be fine in week one. He doesn't need any kind of action. I think for him the timing's a little different. And you can put him under, like I said, strict orders. If you're getting pressure immediately, throw the ball at the guy's feet. You shouldn't be out there getting touched.
I think it's hard to get Kenny to play that way, though.
Well, then you're going to have problems his entire career if he's taking big hits because he's going out there battling.
No, I know. But, like, he put the weight on this year to handle the physical pounding a little bit better, which you, again, can reconcile and live with when it's week one against the 49ers and you're trying to beat one of the best teams in the NFL. You can't when you're just going through the motions against the Buccaneers.
How much do you think they'll play him?
Game.
That's the more relevant question.
I think Tomlin will play him in at least two games and maybe all three.
You think he'll play him for a half of one of those games?
He played Trubisky for a half, so yeah. Yeah. I think he will.
Rolling the dice.
And you'd think he would have learned his lesson when Pouncey got hurt in a preseason game and missed an entire season. That should have been an eye-opener for a coach.
But I don't think it is, unless it's like a Tom Brady type of guy getting hurt Didn't Belichick play him in a preseason well after? I mean, didn't he do that up until the very end of his tenure?
That's probably where Tomlin gets it from. Belichick was a play your guys in the preseason coach.
Right.
He played Brady in the preseason all the time. You think Andy Reid's going to play Patrick Mahomes one snap in the preseason?
I would hope not. And, you know, saying he got it from Belichick doesn't have the same luster anymore, and now that Belichick doesn't have Brady and doesn't look like, you know, Bill Belichick.
The A's guy just walked by. I'm telling you, that's not a Bethel Park man, Malsey.
Because he doesn't have cargo pockets on those shorts.
Exactly. Thank you for the debrief, Donnie. The Tigers and Phillies have now been smoked out. So smoke cancellations across the Northeast, although I'm not sure if that game's in Philly or Detroit.
Phillies, it has to be. I mean, Detroit's getting some, but Philly was
Detroit's
like round zero
right
for
there.
This.
Windsor is.
I know, but the winds are coming
right across
down
the lake.
At a southeasterly clip. And the fires are in Quebec that are really causing most of
all
this.
All right, Mr. Meteorologist, do you think it's bad enough where maybe the Steelers' practice gets canceled tomorrow?
Moved inside, probably, if they're smart.
But what if those doors stay open like they did at the Barclays Center and all of a sudden smoke's getting in?
Well, then Tomlin will say that you got to practice in adverse conditions to get yourself ready for the season.
Just in case they have a game later in the
year.
Where
there's a fireworks display, a pregame fireworks display. He's got to get Kenny acclimated to the smoke.
Or the field catches on fire like it did in St. Louis that time.
That's still an all-time moment.
When the game got delayed.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.